you. Good afternoon, everyone. Again, my name is John Patenya. So today I'll be presenting on a sub-analysis of a study aiming to identify the correlates of post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD symptoms among high-risk adolescents presenting to the emergency department. As with many folks here today, we are interested in looking at a mental health issue from a public health perspective in an ER setting. I have no relationships to disclose. So this analysis is part of a larger study that is currently in progress, funded by the National Institutes of Mental Health, with Dr. Megan Manny as the principal investigator. The larger study is called IDOV. It is a text message-based depression prevention intervention for the same population, high-risk adolescents presenting to the ER. My analysis on PTSD was conducted to explore other mental health issues that face this population. So in discussing PTSD today, I'll be using criteria defined by the DSM-IV-TR that PTSD is an anxiety disorder following exposure to an extreme traumatic stressor. Exposure to violence is well documented to be common among adolescents, with up to 60% reporting any exposure to violence. Studies report that this exposure can lead to depression, aggression, anxiety, as well as injuries. So as we know, the emergency department, or ED as I will refer to, serves as the primary place to treat pediatric injuries, particularly those due to assault. The ED is often the only point of contact with the health system for adolescents, and therefore the ED can function as an opportunity to screen and provide mental health resources. Currently, PTSD symptoms are rarely identified or treated in high-risk adolescents, and rates among this population are unknown. This sub-analysis aimed to identify the correlates to potentially develop prevention interventions that can be implemented in an ED setting. So the study site was at a Level 1 pediatric trauma center that serves as the primary children's hospital in Rhode Island. All adolescents aged 13 to 17 with any chief complaint was approached to take a survey. This was a 15-minute online survey using a tablet. Exclusion criteria included non-English speaking, unable to provide parental verbal consent, or adolescent assent. And that's mainly a reason due to being medically unstable. Other exclusion criteria included presenting complaint of suicidality, psychosis, sexual assault, or child abuse, or if the teen was in police or DCYF custody. That's the Department of Child, Youth, and Families. So I've been talking about the target population being high-risk adolescents. So what does that mean? What is high risk? For the purpose of the larger study developing a text message-based intervention, high risk was determined using two measures. The first is the Patient Health Questionnaire, or the PHQ-9, which measures depressive symptoms in the past 2 weeks. A cutoff score of greater than or equal to 5 was used to represent mild depressive symptoms. The second measure is the modified Conflict Tactics Scale Second Edition, which measured past year peer violence. And this is both perpetrator, as in I beat someone else up, and victim, someone else beat me up. The primary outcome measure for this analysis used the Child PTSD Symptom Scale to measure symptoms in the past 2 weeks. A cutoff score of greater than or equal to 11 was used to develop a binary category to have presence of PTSD symptoms versus not. This is a 17-item measure asking participants to think about an upsetting event in the past 2 weeks and answer, how often has that problem bothered you? So other measures that were included in the questionnaire and in the analysis were suicidality, cyberbullying, the NIMH community violence questionnaire, the comorbidity scale, which is a measure looking at stressful events in the past year, risky behaviors such as drug and alcohol use, and usage of health services, both medical and mental health services. Statistical analysis was conducted using Stata 12. Multivariate logistic regression analysis was conducted to determine adjusted differences in the association of PTSD symptoms and the independent variables. Variables were retained in the final model based on the literature significance of the unadjusted bivariate analysis and lack of collinearity. The goodness of fit of the model was determined using the Hosmer-Lemeshow test. So at the time of this analysis, we had conducted August to December 2013, and as I mentioned, this is still currently in progress, a total of 683 adolescents came to the emergency room. About 56% of them were eligible. The number one ineligible reason was a presented complaint of suicidality. That actually accounted for 50% of the ineligibility. And of those eligible, 67% consented and completed the study. The number one refusal rate was that the adolescent expressed they were in too much pain or they were too sick, which is completely understandable since we're asking them to do a research study while they're in the emergency room setting. So the N for this analysis is 258. This table shows some basic descriptions of the sample. The mean age was 15, half were male, about a third were Hispanic, and a little bit more than half were white. And looking at our key outcome measures, about 19% reported PTSD symptoms within the past 2 weeks. This is an N of 50. About 34% had depressive symptoms, and 45% had peer violence. So in this table, I provide the unadjusted bivariate analysis that yielded statistically significant associations. The most interesting point here is of those with PTSD symptoms, 92% had depressive symptoms. The violence measures were also particularly high. So among those with peer violence, 68%, cyberbullying, 68%. Those that were exposed to community violence, 76%, and 86% had at least one stressful event in the past year. So for the logistic regression analysis, all these variables were considered for the model. Collinearity between the variables were calculated, and we found some interesting results. Although the literature states that PTSD, depression, and suicidality are correlated, clinically correlated, we did not find that calculation. And there was also no collinearity between any of the violence measures, so that was peer violence, community violence, and cyberbullying. So what did we do here? We did two models to fit different theories of correlative PTSD. In model one, we left in all variables that I mentioned. Again, that's based off of the significant bivariates as well as a lack of collinearity, and found that only two variables were significant. Unsurprisingly, depressive symptoms, and looking at the odds ratio, it's about a 41. And interestingly, experiencing a stressful event related to difficulty in a relationship, and what that means is that they had a breakup with a significant other in the past year. The goodness of fit for the model using the Hosmer-Lemischer test was an acceptable p of 0.14. In model two, depressive symptoms were removed, and we did that for two reasons that reflected the literature. One being that depressive symptoms are highly correlated with PTSD symptoms clinically, and two, the relationship between depression, PTSD, and violence was really unclear to us, and it was kind of throwing off our analysis, so we removed it to do this second model. This model revealed three significant variables: cyberbullying, again, stressful events related to relationships, and stressful events related to the illness or death of another person that they knew. The goodness of fit for this model was a more acceptable p of 0.56. So what does all this mean? The findings of this cross-sectional analysis highlight the importance of screening adolescents that present to the emergency department for mental health symptoms and exposure to violence. Surprisingly, violence measures were only minimally associated with PTSD, and this was unexpected given what we know about PTSD among adults. Additionally, non-injury stress, so that's the stressful event related to relationships, were associated, which again was unexpected. So we were not sure how to explain this finding, and think that it could be because the violence measures overlap with each other a lot, and we did not find a calculated collinearity because they kind of cancel each other out, leaving the expected correlates of community violence and injury-related stress without a significant association. Another big question we had was the role of depressive symptoms in the analysis. It was unexpected to find no collinearity with PTSD, since we know that clinically they can be comorbid, and we suspect that we do not fully understand the relationship, again, with PTSD, depression, and violence. So could one variable be moderating another? Why is including or removing the depressive symptom variable in the logistic analysis leading to different violence measures being associated? So the conclusions that we need to do more research, especially around this specific population. So just a couple of limitations. Our study was at a single site. This was granted by a K fund, so it's very small. We hope to do a multi-site kind of study with an R grant, particularly in a larger, more urban kind of emergency department setting. Another limitation is the measures we use. Is the child PTSD symptom scale really capturing what we're looking for? Are the adolescents understanding the question that we're asking? Are they reporting what we're trying to measure? So the takeaway message from this analysis is that EDs can function as a resource to prevent and possibly treat PTSD for adolescents that come in. I've always been interested in the intersection of public health and mental health, and I feel that these findings can support that and support the need to do further research. There are high numbers of mental health issues and exposure to violence, and this is an opportunity to provide resources that the ED can provide.